And at the end, after it's finished for Emperor the Rambam, he writes like this. He says, in this matter, I have no doubt at all that the Ramban was right, not the Rambam. And I was, although I've just now written a long piece to the Emperor the Rambam, but I have no suffix that the Ramban was right. So why bother? Right? So why did I go to the trouble of writing a defense for the Rambam? He says like this, he says, because the Rambam was a tzaddik yisod olam, he was a great tzaddik. And he wrote his svarim l'shem shamayim. And if my Rebbe, the Ramban, had the right to sharply disagree with him, that was because the Ramban was a tzaddik yisod olam. And when he argued, and when he said the machlokes, it was kula l'shem shamayim. But we, who are a generation later, or two generations later, have no right to continue with the machlokes in which our rabbeim feared. We must suspect our motives. In other words, for me to go and perpetuate a machlokes, to look at Deus with the Rambam, because my Rebbe, the Ramban, did that, I'm not in that league. And I must always suspect myself that my motives are not as kosher as were my Rebbe's. So I don't continue a machlokes just because my Rebbe made that machlokes. That's the ritva in the Sefer HaZikaron. So this person suggested that perhaps that's why the Ritva didn't sign on the Cheron. Because he felt that that wasn't the right derech, not at that point. See, this was a couple of doros after the Machloikas with the Maron Avuchim had died down, with the Avraham Ben Ohor, you know, they know some of the Machloikas, very bitter Machloikas, which eventually ended up in this terrible Chilul Hashem, where the Sforum of the Rambam was burnt in public, the Sefer HaMadam. They were very, very bitter machlokes. And all the protagonists were all tzaddikei yisod olam, who were mechaven l'shem shamayim. People who attacked the Rambam's ideas were Rabbeinu Yoinan, Avraham ben Ohor, were tzaddikim yisod olam. But so was the Rambam. And their machlokes was a machlokes l'shem shamayim. The Ritva may have felt that a couple of days later, that's all we need to start that up again, right? That with these charomim against philosophy, and who knows where that's going to end up. Therefore, perhaps he held that the cherem route was not a particularly fruitful one, wasn't a particularly promising one. It's no more than conjecture. Nobody can say whether that was the right reason or the wrong reason. Maybe he just had a cold and couldn't come to the meeting, that's also possible, right? But you can't know, but the fact is that what he says in the Sefer HaZikaron is true. So here you have a very, very important and significant instance where it's not good to just stick with the Mesorah unthinkingly. The Ritva had a Mesorah. His Rebbe, the Ramban, or his Rebbe's Rebbe, was uncompromisingly misnugged to what the Rambam had done in certain areas of the Maron Avuchim. But the Ritva didn't just say, well, so I have a Mesorah that we've got to fight the Rambam. The Ritva questioned himself and says, if the Ramban was the man to do it, am I the man to do it? Or is my doyer the doyer to do it? And he came up with a negative. So there we have a very, very good moshe of the need to balance the Messiah on the one hand with an active intellect on the other. Not to be an Eved, not to be a Mekalel. It's bad. That's the combination which is required. We'll see next week a little hamster. Just like this, in a way it follows on to the psukim we learned last week. Saboisi ani velibi lodas veloso vakesh chochma vecheshbon. He decided to see if he could find loso. Loso means to, just like meraglim, right? The yosuru es eretz kenan, to scout around. That's in pasuk chofhei in chapter zayin. Uvakesh chochma vecheshbon, and to look for wisdom and cheshbon. To recognize the opposite, wickedness, folly, silliness, lightheadedness. There's a need to know the difference, a need to find help in choosing the one over the other. And I found that bitterer than death, as for Isha, is a woman. Ashahi mitzodim vacharomim libot, whose heart is a trap, a cage. Asuim yodeha, her hands are shackled. Tov nifnei olakim yimolet mimena, whoever is tov before Hashem will run away from an Isha. But the sinner will be trapped by her. I looked through very carefully. Maybe out of 1,000 you can find one man, but marry a woman. Nope. No younger light here. You learn this passion, you can all save yourself a lot of trouble. Right? The woman is mami mothers, and she's mitzoidim v'charomim liver asurim yader. So you... What's the pshat? What is Kohelis trying to teach us over here? Are women really so bad? Probably not. You're supposed to get married, supposed to find an Isha. So what's the story of him? He's talking about a particular woman. Doesn't look like that. Because he says, Asha'oid biksha nafshi v'loy motzosi, odam echot me'ele motzosi, v'yishubukhali loy motzosi. He's talking about any woman. So no women are any good. And they're all ma'amim moves, and mitzoidim v'charomim liver, and asurim yoder. Is that true? Does anybody have any ideas about it? Is it true? Good enough. Okay. It's a very, very interesting little note to note over here. The Eze Motsosi Omro Kohelas. Achas la Achas Limtsol Cheshbon. What does it mean, Omro Kohelas? Was Kohelas a man or a lady? No? A man, no? Shlomo. Divrei Kohelas ben David. So, what suddenly happened over here? Amro Koheles. See, the funny thing is that Alpi Dikduk, the segulite nouns, of which this is a part, it means nouns which end in A-S, Tocheles, Mumushachas, are all Loshon Nekeva. This is a feminine ending. So Koheles is Taka Loshon Nekeva. The irregularity is not our pasuk over here, it's the rest of the Megillah, where Koheles is treated as a Loshon Zophar. In other words, if you looked for a name of a man, of a melech, of a melech Shlomo, you wouldn't really call him Koheles. Try and look for some kind of male, masculine, descriptive word. So, that's rather strange that the whole Megillah is based, it's called Koheles, right? And we deal with Koheles, the melech, the Yerushalayim. And what's really happening is that you're treating a female, a feminine noun, you're treating it as a masculine. And over here, Pitam, it's Amro Koheles. It suddenly turns into the feminine noun. Now, why would it be that way? So, Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, end of Mishnah, Altave Sicha Ima Isha. Don't talk too much to ladies. Altave Sicha Ima Isha. Mishnah goes on, Be'ish Tau Amur, Kavachayma Be'eshas Chaveva. You shouldn't talk too much to your own wife. Surely you shouldn't talk very much to somebody else's wife. Kan Amur, Kalama Be'sicha Ima Isha, Goyrem Ro'o La'asma, Beutel mit Divrei Teure, the Seifer Leiresh Gehenna. There is somebody who's Ma Besicha in Ha'isha, he causes evil to himself, he's going to go last night, Beutel mit Divrei Teure, not a bit of Teure involved, the Seifer Leiresh Gehenna, and he goes to Gehenna. What does the Mishnah mean? You know, from what is the Mishnah pavoning us? Now, what are we not supposed to do? Why shouldn't we be mabes sicha in Isha? Why shouldn't we talk a lot in Isha? Context doesn't mashma that here we're talking about. Like that you shouldn't have bad machshavas or something like that. That doesn't seem to be the context. Mishnah says, Yehi beisro, beisvad l'chachomim, v'yu aniyim, v'nei v'esecho, alta v'sicho, v'isho, v'ishto amram. Mishnah is dealing with the kind of home you're supposed to have. The paper, the home should be beisvad l'chachomim, aniyim should feel at home there. Not even supposed to talk much to your own wife. So then we're not talking about having hirhurim, we're having bad machshavas. That's not the issue when you talk to your own wife. So what's wrong with talking to your wife? He says, bittel teure, bittel medivrei teure. That's the issue. No, Achmen, if the Mishnah wants to tell me that you're supposed to learn, so let the Mishnah tell me you're supposed to learn. Then why tell me Hamave Altave Sicha Ima Isha? Maybe you should say, don't play Scrabble. Don't, whatever it is, yeah? You have a choice. You can do something which isn't learning, and you can do something which is learning, so learn. Then why is it the poor lady's fault? Altave Sicha Ima Isha. He says, what's the word? If you're Mabe Sicha, you'll get more involved. It's a more attractive kind of a way of spending your time. So it'll be Moshach. Me and Yeshiva, we know that stumble sessions can also go quite long, right? Even if it's not being Mabe Sicha Moisha. Mishnah could just as well say, Al Tabe Sicha with your roommates or whoever else it is. Because Kol HaMave Sicha in the dormitory is going roll out my vital medical Torah. I mean, it's almost. But is that what the Mishnah is saying?
It could be twofold.
So what?
If you tell us what in regard to the husband, what he should be doing, is also at the same time telling you what's permitted by the Isha.
What's that mean?
Well, because by the Isha, for her to talk offensive things like that, that'd be permissible. It's only saying in regard to the husband, talking to him, the husband should. They're telling him two halachas in one. But he just said not to do a game or whatever. It doesn't tell us anything else. It only tells us what the husband should be doing.
Shouldn't battle.
Right.
Yeah.
But my thinking here was tells us about the Isha.
So what shouldn't the Isha do?
The Isha can talk. It's the only thing that the husband shouldn't talk to the Isha because it's talking all things how the husband should
talk. What the says that the tachlis of the Mishnah is to teach us that the women should talk.
Well, I don't think they should, but not that there's anything necessarily wrong.
Okay, I don't know whether that's part of the kavanah of the Mishnah. I don't think it sounds that way. What do you say, Roger? I mean, if it's a spittle toilet, yeah, okay, I think that's an accurate. And what about going to Gehinnom? Why do you go to Gehinnom for talking to Isha? Talking to your own wife, you go to Gehinnom. Why should you go to Gehinnom for talking to your own wife? You're supposed to communicate with your wife, no? So, kolamav esichom v'isha, v'ishta amru kavachon v'eshavero, so amav esichom v'isha, that goes back on your own wife. What's the Goyram Rola Atzmai? Is there something outside Bittel Torah? There's another evil that's besides Bittel Torah. What could be so wrong with talking to your wife? Okay, right, so that's what the Mishnah means. Don't talk about Lashon Hara. I mean,
well, it might go in general that they may cause having machshava as well on other people or coming to a matkana of hurting people in a way that it's going to be good and wrong.
But why the poor woman? Have you never talked about Shanahara with your friend? Boys also talk about Shanahara together, no? Amol, I hope not, but it happens. Why the Isha? Talk about Shanahara.
But no, I mean, it's more prevalent by that.
I don't know, is it? Would it be? I would hope not. I would hope not, I don't know. A question. Maybe you're right, but it shouldn't be that way. That's them. What else is there? I don't know, you guys pick your ideas up. Why do you say women are more materialistic?
That's true.
So what are we afraid of, Esther? Oh, see, now I think you're heading in the right direction. And what I'm telling you, really, the shilas which we raise, mostly the Maral asks in the Derech Chaim, in his Perush on Pirkei Avot. Yeah, there's a very, very important, decide in that Mishnah. And the Mishnah doesn't mean that because you're talking, while you're talking to your wife, you're not learning. There are plenty of other ways of battling besides talking to your wife. As a matter of fact, if you compare all the things that a person might be doing when he's not learning, he might be better off talking to his wife and doing some of the other things. So, the Baitel Medivrei Torah is true at a completely different level. And the Goyram Rola Atzmai is something quite different. And the reason why it's Yarish Gehinnom is something quite different. And the reason is this. Important you say to know. And that is that each person whom the Rabbeinu Shalom created and each person whom the Rabbeinu Shalom put into this world has a different framework of tafkidim, different kind of tachlis. And while it's true that each function is absolutely choshev by the Rabbeinu Shalom, and a person of whichever gender or in whichever matzah he finds himself is absolutely choshev to the Divine Shalom for fulfilling that function, a tishtush of the functions, that means a blurring of the divisions, can become catastrophic. And that is what the Mishnah is talking about. The Ribui Sicha over here, which is Gairam Bittul Taira, is not the Pshat, because while you're talking to your Isha, you're not learning. We said there are other ways of battling. That doesn't have to be the moshul that you're not supposed to battle. What the Tanna is afraid of is over here like this, that by being Mabe Sicha, you'll gradually encourage and enhance those aspects of your own character which are neuter towards the sphere of interest and activity which is appropriate for the Isha. That's the Amro Koheles over here. You see, every person has within himself Natias, the human being. But in the Zacher, in the man, whose Tafkid is X, we'll define it in a moment. So those aspects of his being, which are to contribute towards a specific avoda, which is appropriate to the man, ought to predominate. And those natias within him, which would be more appropriate to the Isha's tafkid, should be subordinate. They can have their uses occasionally, but they should be subordinate. The danger of the Ribui Sicha is that there will become a fusion of interests, that the balance in the Koichos HaNefesh of the person can become distorted, and that the Isha within him would become strengthened, those natias, which would aid and would be appropriate for the avoider of the Isha in life, would cease to be subordinate in his Derech HaChayim, and thereby he would be distorting the kind of avoider which he's supposed to do, and thus would be Goyram Rola Atzmai, would be Beutel Medivrei Torah, and Sofer Lerech Gehinnom, by not living up to the avoda which the Ribbono Shel Olam has in mind for him. That's what we're talking about over here. We're talking about the danger of a blurring of the divisions. Now that bears some explaining. But let's take it in its very simplest form, the form which is most magia to us, the simple kind of way. Man is mechuyev in Talmud Torah, Isha is not. Now, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is not just another mitzvah among the Tariyag mitzvahs. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah, as you know, is absolutely central to the mitzvahs. It's the activity with which we ought to fill our lives, whether we're in yeshiva, whether we're outside yeshiva, wherever we are. The Torah has to be Iker, the Melachta has to be Arai. The Odom Yisrael, his life, has to center around Torah, learning. That's the way the Baruch Hashem wants it. That's another subject of not inconsiderable interest. Why does Hashem want it? What does learning Torah do for us? But that's a given. given is that our Torah should be keva, our melacha should be alay, and that there's an obligation of v'higisa bo yomam bo laila, which is inhibited only by a chiyuv of parnasa, but whatever that chiyuv does not require, there's a positive and absolute chiyuv of learning. Now that requires certain koichos hanefesh, the insatiable thirst for the poshut nitty-gritty of learning, knowing Torah, knowing the Ratzon Hashem, the curiosity, the inquisitiveness, the craving to know, to understand. These are all koichos hanefesh in a person. And by an Adam Yisrael, those should be the predominant koichos, because they are the ones which have to define his life and his strivings. Ishan, or says, "Amiram yom elakorosi leishti ishti leishti beisi." Ishan is the center of the bias. You would call it today a nesting instinct, the idea of providing a home, the unbelievably important function of creating an environment within which a family can flourish happily, peacefully, and constructively. An item of Kedusha, an item of Tavon. That's an unbelievably important and central role, but it requires different kind of koichos hanefesh. Let's say that there would be an isha in whom there is an equal intellectual striving and thirst, equal to that of a man. In one way, that's a wonderful gift. In another way, it makes her life a little harder, because the way the tafkid is ausgestellt, she'll quite likely find frustrations in doing those aspects of what she surely wants to do and has to do, but which are not satisfied, or which don't tend to satisfy those cravings in the person. So, in our ideal home, if we could picture such a thing, so what would we have? We would have the husband, let's paint a theoretical picture, completely meshuchra from any of the tirdas of the bias, let's say, without the vaguest idea of what's going on, or how it's going on, or whether this is like that, or this is azoy, and this is azoy, and that his whole arangeton, his whole mind, his whole life revolves around, say, learning, or somebody who is sitting in Panosa, the correct balance of those requirements, but the details are unimportant. And you'd have the Isha very much involved and happy with the establishment and running of the bias. And she's not worrying about the Rambam and how to fend for them. Now, what would be if between this couple there were a ribui sicha? That means ba'ofen that the closeness, love, warmth that exists between a husband and a wife would gradually wean the husband away from the single-minded pursuing of the Chochmas HaTorah, let's say. It's taka very nice, it'll suddenly strike him. It's nice to have a nice home. So maybe we should go out together to choose the grapes, because the color has to be like this and has to fit in like that. The Kohen.